Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Federal government's shut down and Republicans and Democrats fighting over who's responsible. Here's ABC's Brian Clark.
House Speaker Mike Johnson said Republicans sought to reduce fraud, waste, and abuse in Medicaid, but the Democrats rejected their plan.
The Democrats said instead that they wanted to give health care to illegal aliens.
On ABC's Good Morning America, Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries said Medicaid coverage for undocumented immigrants is against the law.
That's the law, and Democrats aren't trying to change that.
He described the shutdown as a health care crisis caused by Republicans. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Hundreds of thousands of federal workers caught up in all of it. They will be without paychecks while they're furloughed. In New York City, part of a high-rise apartment building has collapsed. The incinerator shaft of the 20-story building in the Bronx is now gone. They're trying to figure out what caused it. No word on injuries. Indonesian rescue workers racing to find survivors after a school collapsed in East Java. This is ABC News.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 107.5 WLAK.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is encouraging hunters to share their passion for the sport with the next generation during this year's Youth Deer Hunt. The annual event will be held on October 11th and 12th, offering hunters 15 and younger the chance to learn hunting techniques in a less crowded environment than the traditional 9-day gun deer hunt season. Youth hunters will be eligible to hunt under a mentor's supervision. Mentors must be at least 18 years old, have a current license, and have completed a hunter education course. The Wisconsin Better Business Bureau is encouraging residents to take advantage of the services it offers following severe weather occurrences. Organization officials say scams are becoming increasingly common in the wake of severe weather and natural disasters as scammers seek to take advantage of struggling residents. They're encouraging residents to visit their Natural Disaster HQ webpage to learn about some common post-storm scams like contractors offering quick fixes, price gouging for high-demand items, or disaster relief fundraising campaigns. The City of Duluth is seeking feedback from the community on city services and priorities. City officials opened a survey last week in partnership with the University of Minnesota Duluth and the Bureau of Business and Economic Research. Their goal is to gather feedback from residents to inform future investments and policy decisions. Any Duluth resident aged 18 or older is invited to participate in the survey, which can be found online. Responses in the survey are confidential and only one response is allowed per resident. Washburn County is seeking applicants to serve as the new zoning administrator. According to a press release, the zoning administrator will be responsible for enforcing county zoning ordinances and other state and federal regulations, including subdivision control, floodplain zoning, and private wastewater treatment system regulations. The position also involves issuing permits as well as assisting and educating residents about the zoning code. More information on the position and the application can be found on the Washburn County website. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
After further review, hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers coaching staff reviewing the tape of Sunday night's game in Dallas, in which Green Bay kicked a field goal with 1 second left, ending in a tie. Matt LaFleur admits that was poor clock management.
Just looking at the clock, I'm like, oh my God, there's going to be no time left. It's a very humbling experience to go through that. It's unacceptable, quite honestly. And there's nothing we can do about it now other than we better learn from it, everybody.
The Packers have the week off before hosting the Bengals Sunday, October 12th. NBA, Bobby Portis says, after meeting with Bucks GM John Horst and coach Doc Rivers, he decided to stay in Milwaukee.
Being able to have that open dialogue, open communication with John, open communication with Doc, it's been a great experience for me being here in Milwaukee. Definitely would have been weird going to another franchise, and so I'm happy I'm here.
That's Bucks forward Bobby Portis with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
It is going to be another partly cloudy, warm day today. Our high right around 79 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, sunny, a little breezier with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 61.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful
beautiful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers are in the Big House to battle Michigan. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 107.5 FM, 1260 AM, WLAK.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, we'll talk to Amy Pahacek, Secretary of the State Department of Workforce Development, an agency more people are needing here in the Trump economy.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are waiting to be joined by Darren Von Ruden, the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Association. We're going to talk about tariffs and bailouts and all.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. Yeah. Tariffs and bailouts. Oh, my. All of that coming up once Darren Von Ruden can join us. I know he was also out in D.C.
Yes. He and the Wisconsin Farmers Union makes regular trips to D.C. to talk to our lawmakers. And he has stories. He has spoken to the individuals who support them and the individuals who do not. And it's weird because one of those individuals is Derek Van Orden, who is not only a congressman, but he sits on the Ag Committee.
He does sit on the Ag Committee. You would think he would be meeting with Wisconsin farmers with some regularity.
Jane, he doesn't have time for that. He has to tweet.
Oh, legislative priorities.
Well, not only that, he has to tweet, but he also has to tweet and threaten people.
That's true.
Whether it's just...
It's very time-consuming.
Calling them names, threatening their funding. Derek Van Orden, by the way, it's very hard to keep
when we have
the two of them
I know.
Separate when you're talking, because it's so easy.
It's
every
so
single
close.
Time. Yeah. He will be joining us in a moment to talk about and this came down last week, and we can talk about it a little right now. The president decided to make an announcement, and I really would love to find out if his staff knew this. He said that he was going to, that they, I should say they are going to bail out the farmers like they did in 2018, 2019.
During his first term.
During their first term.
Yeah.
They are going to bail out the farmers, and they're going to use, wait for it, tariff money, which, by the way, is now in the trillions. They found $31 billion, according to...
Trillion?
Nope, billions.
Was it only billions?
It was $31 billion they've just, quote, found, but there's been trillions taken in by the tariff, so now they're going to bail out the farmers, which begs the question, so we're just paying for it twice now?
Well, the farmers are paying themselves back.
Yeah, exactly.
Essentially, because we, as consumers, are the ones who are paying for these tariffs, as we see every time we go to the store.
Yeah.
And the price of things are going up.
Mm-hmm.
If it's an export, that means that the importers had to hike the price to cover the cost of the tariffs.
Yeah. So we have the bailouts for the farmer, which, as I said, the president made the announcement last week, and it was covered, but this wasn't like he was going on stage saying, today we're talking about bailing out the... He just sort of said it like he says a lot of things, just sort of comes to mind, and
yeah.
then has to fall out of his face. But then also the fact that the shutdown is going to affect the farmers as well. And this is something that Darren wanted to speak with, which is the effect of the government shutdown, which is happening as of 12:01 this morning,
mm-hmm.
is going to be affecting the farmers.
So. And I'm still seeing reports, and we're going to talk to Will Westmoreland.
Yes.
Who is a farmer from southwestern Missouri that has been on the show a number of times. But I am seeing more and more reports from farmers across the country going, you're killing us. This is killing us. We don't have, our crops are rotting.
Yeah.
There's no one to pick them.
Mm-hmm.
You're one of those lazy white guys who's watching 6.1 hours of television in your mom's basement every day. I think they're expecting you to take that job.
I like TV, but what is it about white guys? There's lazy every guy.
Well, okay.
But that actually brings me back to what we were talking about earlier, too. Our Secretary
Brooke
of Labor, oh, Brooke Rollins, had a great solution.
She's the Secretary of Ag.
Sorry. Secretary of Ag had a great solution a few months ago, which was all of those, quote, lazy people on Medicaid who are frauding us out can just go in the fields.
And pick.
Solution, problem solved. There you go. I'd love to see if Darren and I think we've spoken to Darren on this, is the farmers are not getting responses from, because they're putting the word out saying, hey, we're hiring, we need people, and they're not getting the response because we see ourselves as people who don't do that work. Sorry, that's just how it is.
For decades.
And it's been called the worst kept secret that farmers rely upon undocumented folks, migrant workers, to come and do the work in the fields that provide us with our food and other products. It is just the way of life. But now, not so much anymore, Jane, and all those lazy guys watching the TV. You get to go.
There's a job waiting for you.
Go pick some fruit.
There's a job waiting for you. Yeah. I understand it's really easy work, too.
Oh, yeah. Not backbreaking, not hard.
Piece of cake. Yeah. Speaking of our agriculture secretary, Brooke Rollins, I don't know if she got this from Wisconsin's senior senator, Ron Johnson, but it made my ears perk up when I heard Brooke Rollins talking about the plight of our farmers. Mm-hmm. Gavin, can we play that clip, please, from our agriculture secretary?
Can you tell us a little bit more about President Trump's plan to use tariff money to pay farmers? What does that look like? How much are we talking about? How long will that program last?
You know, it is a very elegant solution, right? That the amount of tariff money that is coming into our country is stunning. The president had a vision. He's effectuating the vision. The vision is pretty remarkable. The whole entire world economy is now realigning around American products, which is incredible. But again, to this moment of uncertainty, the ability to offset any payments to the farmers through potential tariff revenue is really where the president wants us to head, and that's what we're looking at very soon. One more.
It's a very elegant solution.
Yeah.
Ron Johnson, by the way.
Kudos, buddy.
Ron Johnson told that to Corrine Hendrickson,
yes,
who was then a daycare provider in Wisconsin, longtime daycare provider.
Yeah.
And when they went to talk to Wisconsin's senior senator about the child care crisis in our state, he is a senator from our state. He said that an elegant solution would be for Corrine Hendrickson just to stay home for nothing.
Well,
and watch other people's kids.
He said it would be great for her to stay home and watch other people's kids. She had to then pull it out of him and say, you mean for free? And he didn't respond.
He just smiled at her.
He just smiled. And people, I like our naysayers are like, well, he didn't say for free. I was like, yeah, okay.
Okay. There we go.
You're all about nuance now.
Mm.
There's two things on that I find really funny, Jane. One, I think we need a new segment called An Elegant Solution.
Anytime
a congressman, a senator, or cabinet level secretary or the president has one of these fixes, it'll be an elegant solution. Because she used, I don't know if that's now a thing where they're saying an elegant solution.
I hope so.
But also, she used the word stunning. Stunning doesn't denote great. It means as though you can say, this tidal wave is awesome. It doesn't mean great. It means overwhelming, could be terrible, but just enough where you go, oh my goodness. So stunning, when she says that the money we're getting from the tariffs is stunning, I don't think trillions of dollars on the tariff shelf that I literally am using Trump's words.
Yes.
He called it a tariff shelf.
Yes.
I don't know. I can't buy that on Amazon. But to me, stunning. It's like when you open Al Capone's vault, you open it up and there's nothing there but maybe like a buck. That's to me the stunning amount we're going to get from these tariffs, and if they commit to bailing out the farmers, they're going to have to find the money somewhere. Then And I know the rich guys who are getting the tax breaks aren't giving it up.
Oh, they're no. I have a feeling they're going to hang on to that pretty tightly.
Absolutely. Yeah. And as PJ just said on the live stream, let's not forget $20 billion to Argentina.
And the reason we are sending money to Argentina is because Malele is Donald Trump's buddy. Mm-hmm. That's why we're helping out Argentina. Argentina, by the way, as a good sign of faith and friendship between our two countries, they're selling soybeans to China. China stopped buying American soybeans because of the tariffs.
Yeah.
So now we are giving $20 billion to the country that is helping to screw our farmers.
And that leads me to two other points now. One, it is on record. I read a story in Ag Web Farming. It's a great app if you want to learn about what's going on in the farming world. Great stories. Download directly to your device and look at all the news that comes through. It said in there that Donald Trump was telling China slash asking China slash maybe begging China to quadruple their soybean purchases from America because they've been hit so hard from what's happening now and what happened back in the day too.
In the first
tariff war that happened.
Right.
You know, also the notion that, okay, so Jane, I have an elegant solution.
Excellent.
So you know how like he's helping out his friend because he's his friend and they like him. He helps out BB. He helps out Putin, and he'll
Cutter too. He's a big fan of Cutter lately. Yeah.
So okay, folks, so let's all get together. You don't have to mean this. Just tell President Trump he's nice. Tell them that you like him. He might help us with health care. He could release the Epstein files. Maybe if we just suck up to him enough.
Oh,
we could compliment him into. I mean, I don't know. Maybe just not. Having massive cuts to health care.
If we just compliment him enough.
Exactly. I mean, it's like a regular donor thing, Jane. You start like low.
Sure.
Hey, I like that tie.
You don't want to overwhelm him, right? You got to warm him up a little bit.
Maybe he doesn't tell an ICE agent to arrest you, even though you're a legal citizen or here protected legally. As you get more up and up and up, you get more. So let's call it a quid pro quo. He knows about those.
He does.
So let's call it a quid pro quo. We just up those compliments up, and then who knows? I mean, Jane, you never know. You could do this all together. We get ourselves some universal health care. It'd take a lot of compliments, but I believe in us. That's how we can move forward together. Just give him enough compliments, make him feel loved, and we can get what we need as Americans who pay our taxes.
American soybean farmers and their families are suffering. There are 500,000 of soybean producers in the country that need new markets, opportunity, and a level playing field. Tennessee Soybean Promotion Council Executive Director Stephen Maupin says the tariffs imposed by Trump are death by a thousand cuts.
Oh, man.
We're in a significant and desperate situation where none of the crops that farmers grow right now return a profit. They can't even break even. A fifth-generation soybean farmer in Tennessee said the year started off really good. We were in the field in late March, which is early for us. But then the wheels came off, so to speak, pretty quick. There was devastating flooding in Tennessee in April, then a drier than normal summer, higher supply costs because of inflation, and the Trump tariffs. Quote, so much of what happened and what's going on here is totally out of our control. Mm-hmm. We just want free, fair, open market where we can sell our goods as competitively as anybody else around the world. We feel we have a superior market here in the U.S., but we need to have markets.
And I don't know who that gentleman voted for, and I do not care. That is an example of how all of this happening right now affects
all of us.
And, you know, you can't take into consideration weather and flooding and all that stuff. You just have to hope for the best. And they were getting good. And then this came along, and flooding came along. And one of those things can be controlled. So, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Compliments, baby!
You look so handsome today, by the way. Have I told you that?
Yeah.
When we return, medical marijuana might actually make it to Wisconsin. Really?
What?
We'll kick that around on the way. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the vast, statewide, countrywide, pick us up around the globe. The Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll, I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or you can leave a comment on the live stream. Good morning, live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up at the very end of the show, about a half an hour from now, we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the
As the worm turns. As the worm turns. You said you left me.
Stick around for Tisbet, as we call it. Mm-hmm. This Shouldn't Be a Thing, coming up around 10:53 this morning. We wanted to talk a little bit about medical marijuana. We intended to get around to this yesterday, and then we just got bogged down by all the other things happening in the world. Yeah. Wisconsin GOP lawmakers from WISN introduced bill to legalize medical marijuana. Three Republican state lawmakers introducing a bill to legalize medical marijuana after multiple previous failed attempts. This new measure, sponsored by State Senator Patrick Teston from Stevens Point, Senate President Mary Felskowski, Tomahawk, State Rep Patrick Snyder from Weston, would require people have a doctor's diagnosis and then register through a new state office.
Yeah, the last time they tried to do this was, I think it was last year.
Was it last year?
I believe so, I think. Or it's or maybe it was 1948. Time's a construct at this point. The proposal was you could only get medical, and this only went through the assembly. It never reached the state
Senate.
Never
got very far, yeah.
And you could only have like 3 to 5 ailments.
Yeah, they were very specific. Yeah, very specific conditions.
And it wouldn't be what I would think you would do is legalize it, then license it and allow dispensaries to sell it. They would set up 5 state-run dispensaries.
Right.
Which seems, I don't know, seems like spending to me.
It does.
instead of, you know, not doing that and just licensing it out and reaping the taxes. But yeah, it was so convoluted and so strict and so.
It doesn't sound like it's that much different this time around.
Yeah. Only I think they added IBS to the list of ailments.
Patients, again, under this proposal by the three Republicans to bring medical marijuana to Wisconsin, mm-hmm. patients have to get a diagnosis of a condition like cancer.
Understood.
Multiple sclerosis.
Great.
PTSD. Absolutely. I've talked to veterans about this. Who would really like to have access mm-hmm. to it? Parkinson's,
yep.
chronic pain,
okay.
or IBS.
Oh, what?
I think you're right. I don't think IBS, which is irritable bowel syndrome.
Which
not
is,
that that's not a serious thing. It's got to be horrible.
No, I don't. I don't think it's a thing to. I don't laugh at the syndrome. Nor do I laugh at the people who have it. I don't have it, and I feel good about that. But I feel like that was a very random one that maybe one of the people who proposed the bill suffers from. So they could, because I don't know how marijuana they
might be a little self-serving is what
exactly
you're saying.
What Tony just said. They're like, which one of the three has IBS? you know, just legalize it. Like, just okay, start medical. Just make it. Don't do all these caveats. Let people have the relationship with their doctors and talk about it. If the doctor prescribes it, fine. We get the taxes. Look at all the other states, including Minnesota, Michigan, Illinois. Wait for it. Iowa.
Iowa has medical marijuana, my friends. Iowa.
And see how that what they can. And the problem, though, Jane, is that I feel like in order for that to happen, we also have to have a better Madison, a better capital there. Because the thing is, if we take in tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars on taxes for marijuana, what happens to that money? Do they just want to give it back? Do they want to do tax breaks for rich? Do they want to let it sit in a pile on
Mount Voss?
We're going to call it the surplus shelf. Set that money in the surplus and do nothing with it. You have to invest that money back into the state. And I don't think if marijuana was legal right now that I could trust our leaders in Madison to do that. They would just let the money pile up and then they'd fight over it. You have to have people who are elected in who will say, we have all this cash. Let's put it into education. Let's put it into mental health. Let's put it into infrastructure. Let's do something with this money, invest back, and become the great state that we once were. Instead, Iowa has marijuana and we don't.
Tony, on the live stream, do we really want to be like those liberal hippies from Iowa? Excellent point, Tony.
You're very right.
Really good point there, Tony.
I really think that...
Wacky Iowans.
Yeah.
A 2024 effort by Assembly Republicans spearheaded by Robin Voss proposed state-run dispensaries that did not get Senate support. Jack texting in from Merrimack on WAUK, state-run marijuana dispensaries? Isn't that communism?
That sounds commie
plan to
me. It sounds
socialism. Sounds like communist, socialist, Marxist.
Feminist.
All the ists.
In a caravan.
All the ists.
All the ists and in a caravan.
Yes.
Trying to take our jobs and our weed.
Under the new bill, patients could ingest medical marijuana through oils, tinctures.
I don't know what that means.
We need, it's a liquid. Okay. We're going to work that word in more often because it's just unused. Tinctures. Edibles and vapors, but you can't smoke it. Smoking in any form is not good for you. Putting smoke in your lungs, I'm sorry, but says the nicotine addict, inhaling smoke in your lungs is not a good thing in any form.
And to PJ on the live stream who's talking about we have a medical law here, it's very, very strict in its wording. And I think that what you need to do is open it up a little bit more than what they have here. I'm looking at the law at this point. And yeah, we need a modern medical marijuana. We need a modern legalization of marijuana in this state because we can use that money and others. And we're losing money by people going to other states.
Big time.
I've heard from friends.
News is coming up next. And then audio sorbet. What household chore are you afraid of? Let's talk pilot lights. You're listening to Matt Mayer on Air. Stay close. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A proposed bill seeking to push back the enforcement date of recently adopted building codes was heard in a state assembly committee this week. The legislation was proposed by a group of Republican lawmakers and seeks to delay the start of enforcement until April of 2026. Enforcement was originally scheduled to begin on Wednesday, but the Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services pushed that deadline back to November 1st amid concerns from the construction industry over inflation, workforce shortages, and supply chain issues. A recent report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum found that the state's alcohol-induced death rate is declining but still remains above pre-pandemic levels. According to the report, nearly 1,100 Wisconsin residents died due to alcohol-induced causes in 2024. The state's alcohol-induced mortality rate was 18.2 per 100,000 residents, significantly higher than the national average of 13.9 last year. In 2019, the state's alcohol-induced mortality rate was only 14.9 per 100,000 residents. The Barron Electric Cooperative's Board of Directors has approved the return of over $1.2 million to over 16,000 current and former members through cashback credits. Checks will be distributed at a pair of Cooperative Month events that will be held on October 7th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Barron Electric's office in Spooner and October 9th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Barron Electric's office in Barron. Members who are unable to attend one of the events will get the remaining checks mailed to them by the end of October. A Comstock woman was arrested over the weekend after allegedly driving her vehicle into a Polk County lake while operating under the influence. According to the Wisconsin State Patrol, 37-year-old Emily Jean Stowell was charged with first offense operating a motor vehicle under the influence in relation to the crash, which occurred on Saturday at around 12:30 a.m. According to their preliminary investigation, authorities say Stowell was driving northbound on County Line Street when she veered off the road and crashed into the lake. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. It can be hard for a filmmaker or artist to watch material they've created or were a part of. Sometimes it's because they watch it so much while making it, they just don't feel the need. But in the case of actor Paul Bettany, he can't watch A Knight's Tale anymore because of Heath Ledger, despite the film being a breakout role for Bettany, according to Yahoo News. The Da Vinci Code actor said recently at Comic-Con LA that he just misses his friend Ledger, who he called a playful, joyous spirit. The two bonded on the 2001 film in which Bettany plays Geoffrey Chaucer, and he says he has not seen it once since. Tubi is on fire. The streamer, which is mostly free, has dipped its toes into pro sports and is now doing a cannonball off the high dive. Tubi will be part of the Thanksgiving Day NFL extravaganza and air your Green Bay Packers against the Detroit Lions. It will be a simulcast with Fox Sports. Fox acquired Tubi in 2020. The streamer also has tons of great free movies if you don't mind a few ads. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
It is going to be another partly cloudy, warm day today. Our high right around 79 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, sunny, a little breezier with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We don't always agree politically, but Bill McCosh.
Thanks for having me. You want to talk Brewers first?
It's been a really special season, and it's not whether you're wearing red or blue hats. It's yellow and blue.
How do you come together in politics? This is one of the ways.
Yeah.
Find some common ground, and then expand on that. And then you got to listen to the other side.
Our neighbors are not our enemies. We can disagree politically, but still find ways to bring our community together.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Maggie Dawn.
Ever hear conservatives explain away Charlie Kirk's racism by saying, oh, he was taken out of context? I debunk that baloney in full at 5:30. Do not miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Good morning.
Hello.
And welcome back.
Welcome back.
To Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, baseball or football. We got football coming up Saturday. Wisconsin at Michigan. Does anybody want to watch that?
I mean,
their last game wasn't so good.
I mean, the batters aren't great. And
this is not their season. Anyway,
it Wisconsin, hasn't been their season for seasons now.
Wisconsin at Michigan. Our broadcast will start this Saturday morning at 9 a.m. You can catch it on terrestrial radio on WRCE in Richland Center, WLAK in beautiful Amory, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, and WRPN in Ripon. So Badgers football against Michigan this Saturday. Our broadcast will start at 9 a.m. This is the part of the show that we call Audio Sorbet, where we like to get away from the news and take a breath and get reoriented and
especially
have some
today.
Laughs.
Yeah, yeah.
It's exhausting. So we were talking about this. This is where these things come from.
Every day we come into the studio and we say we need an audio sorbet, and I always know that we cannot try to find a topic. Unless we stumble into a topic outside of the building, you cannot say, it's like saying make a viral video. You can't do that.
No.
It has to come from a topic that's being talked about out of context for no reason. We're just shooting the bull in the room, and then all of a sudden you say,
that's it.
That's it. There that's it is. That's the only way you can find one.
So this morning before we got on the air,
yeah,
we were talking about my neighborhood had our block party on Saturday, and I had asked some of the neighbors if they knew any handy guys.
Yeah.
So we have a two-story house. And we have an attic that is unfinished.
Yeah.
The only thing in the attic when we had our bathroom redone is a vent fan to the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we remodeled that bathroom about 15 years ago. Again, the attic isn't finished, doesn't have a floor.
Yeah.
And nobody's been up there to check on it. And I worry. And I want to make sure there's no leaks.
Yeah.
My husband has a spinal cord injury. He is not bendy. And he can't do ladders. Mm-hmm. It's difficult for him to get on the ground for various things again. So I went to the block party and I said, does anybody have a handy guy? I'm looking for a handy guy. And one of my neighbors, Becky, said, she pointed at her husband. She said, he's it. So Mark, that lovely man, is going to come over and crawl in our attic for us this week. Because I am afraid to go in the attic.
Yeah.
I said it out loud.
Yeah.
I don't want to go up there. It scares me, and I'm afraid I'm going to fall through the ceiling.
See, I share the same fear of attics. Let me rephrase that. I don't fear attics. I just don't want to come across. And here, if there was a mouse, I could deal with that. It's finding dead mice or dead critters. I just don't want to. I don't want to have to deal with them. I would rather just not thank you. I know. Here's my man card. Here's my dude card. Whatever you want to take from me.
I don't think you're alone. It's a you factor.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a bad thing. You don't want to encounter desiccated mouse bodies. I understand that.
You went with the big words today. You and the big words. I'm loving it. Keep doing that. Take our vocabulary. Never mind.
Words. Carol from Waukesha texted in early because she wasn't able to stick around. She said, I wanted to share my household task that I hate. I cannot set nor can I clean out mouse traps. So you are not alone.
Yeah.
And I have my good friend Rosalind cannot handle mouse traps.
Well, the other thing too, and this is, it may be because I have the dog now. Hi, Maybelle. You're not listening. Any sort of animal pain hurts me, and I don't want to. My house is not overrun with mice. I do not have a rodent problem. Therefore, I don't feel the need to put traps in the attic to kill them.
Okay.
Because unless they're causing a problem, we'll go from there. And we haven't had any. So I don't feel the need to put something up there that if one gets around, it's fine. It's not causing any harm. I've not seen anything happen to my house because of it. I personally do not like the idea of killing animals, even if they're pests and rodents.
Well, you're the man who takes spiders outside.
I do. I take spiders out. I don't need to kill them. There's nothing that brings me no accomplishment by killing a spider. And yeah, I just no thank you.
Well, good for you.
It's a problem.
But for some folks, I mean, if you get a mouse infestation, you don't want that.
If there's a mouse infestation, I will take necessary action to take care of that. But at this point in my home, there is nothing that makes me go up in the attic, which I'm thankful for, and set traps. So
what is your household chore that either scares you or just creeps you out? And you have to get somebody else to do it.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. This is today's audio sorbet because I actually managed to wrangle one of our kind neighbors into crawling up into our attic to make sure nothing's leaking up there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark.
Will he crawl up? I can crawl.
I don't know if he does this. If he's a regular attic crawler, I can ask him. What is your household chore that you just, it either scares you, because I don't want to go in the attic. I'm afraid to go in the attic.
Yeah.
Or it just creeps you out. 855-752-4842. Richard from Waukesha is on the line. Good morning, Richard. What do you want to say?
Morning. I have some advice for you on your attic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of attic is it? Can you stand in it, or is it, you don't crawl?
No, you can stand. You can stand in it.
Mm-hmm. Same with mine.
Okay. Do you have it insulated on the floor, which is the ceiling below?
Yes, I believe so.
I think so.
Yeah.
That's a thing to find out, because that would be a major improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And you could take the ceiling down from underneath and insulate it, or you can take the boards or floor up above.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. No, I will say, for me, Richard, my attic is completely unfinished, where it's actually like the joists, I think you'd call
joists.
Them.
Joists.
The joists. And then there is insulation on the floor of my attic, which is on my ceiling. So yeah, I'm covered there. I mean, I honestly should call someone up just to make sure everything is up to date and looks good for that point. But yes, thank you for that.
Appreciate that, yeah. Richard. I'll do that if I can ever get up there. 855-752-4842. What is the household chore that just creeps you out, don't want to do it, or grosses you out? 855-752-4842. Tammy from Eau Claire texting in, listening on WCFW. The bathroom sink drains.
Oh.
All that gunk that accumulates, it just grosses me out.
Okay, so I have a fix for you in that one. I don't know, like, because I had to go natural because my old landlord, she didn't want us pouring chemicals down there. Understood?
Sure.
Not my pipes.
Sure.
So I found a great solution, which was you pour some... I believe you pour some baking soda in there.
Okay.
And then you pour a mixture of hot water and vinegar. And then that should get, and then get yourself a plastic snake. I do that with mine every, because, you know, I got long hair. My wife has long hair. We have a dog. Our drains in the bathroom, especially the shower,
get clogged.
So yep. That's a natural way of fixing it. And those snakes, that's a basic plastic snake. They're so basic, they don't even sell them on the shelves at grocery stores. They're on those side things that hang off of the shelves where they're like, oh, you need one of these things. Yeah, you got them. So that's a great, natural, easy, quick fix.
I like that.
I told you about, it's not a fear. I don't like being on ladders.
You're not alone.
Ladders bug me out. I know I need to do them sometimes, but like, especially, I have a two-story as well, and we were cleaning windows, power washing windows, like just making sure they look nice. And I had been putting off cleaning my gutters for, experts would call it too long. What are you pointing at?
Terry. Terry texting in, listening in Waukesha on WAUK, cleaning gutters.
Yep. Cleaning gutters made me very, very freaked me out. And then one day I'm like, all right, we got to clean the windows. I'll just get on the ladder. I'll look and see how bad it is. And then I found out, and I've been in my house for 3 years now. We have gutter.
You have gutter cutters. Guards?
We have gutter guards. Just covered. Perfect. And they were there when we got there.
You're off the hook.
I'm completely off the hook. And I was very excited and then became immediately ashamed of myself.
Oh, don't be ashamed.
Because I didn't know.
Well, now you do.
I do know now.
Sue from Franklin, washing the windows. Again, that's ladder
yes.
work.
Yes.
I have a fear of heights now. I didn't used to be afraid of heights, and now I'm very twitchy. What is your household chore that freaks you out or scares you?
Go ahead. You have one more.
I do have one more.
Yes, you do. And it's a fair one, too.
Okay. It's the pilot light on the water heater.
Yes. Understood.
Again, my husband has a spinal cord injury, and it's much easier for me to get down on the ground when, you know, if it gets blown out or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I am so convinced in the back of my head that is going to blow back on me.
Yeah.
Like a scene out of the movie Backdraft.
I really like how you took it from this old house to disaster movie in
but
a sentence.
You know what? I mean, I'm on the floor and I've got my match and I got a hemostat grabbing it and trying to light, and I'm just waiting for it to blow back in my face and I'm going to be incinerated.
Is there
and be like a speck. Puff.
Is there like a bad guy on the other side of the room who's just smoking a cigarette slowly, looking and just
watching
flicks
me.
It and watches it. The cherry just hit, and you're like, this is what I was afraid of! Credits.
Judy from East Troy texting in, we have 12-foot ceilings. I cannot stand dusting them.
Mm-hmm.
All the stuff coming down in my eyes, super sore, neck hurts, two levels in order to handle it. Yeah, that doesn't sound like much fun, Judy.
I have a two-story house, and we have vaulted ceilings, so very high. And of course, because these people were amazing when they designed it, lights on the ceilings.
Oh, lovey, in your vaulted ceilings.
So I had to buy a telescopic arm to change because I cannot reach it from any natural place, and I'm not going on a ladder because how far it is from the wall, I would fall directly off. So I had to invest $39 in a telescopic arm for the light bulb. And don't get at me saying you have a cheaper fix because it's too late. I spent the money.
Now I just want to borrow it. I don't know
right,
what I'm going to do.
You can. I'm only going to use it once in a while.
I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I just want to see if I can
just go
anything.
Up to your husband with the suction cup thing and just from my ear.
And finally, Brett from Brown Deer says, if the mouse dies naturally in the attic and it doesn't smell, just leave the body as a warning to the other mice. There you go.
It'd be a bad thing if this happened to you.
This could happen to you, too. All right.
Shame.
Thank you, everybody, for checking in on that with Household Fears. It just gives you the creeps. You have to get somebody else to do it for you. When we return, we are going to wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the As the Worm Turns edition. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the vast statewide.
What?
Countrywide.
What?
You can pick us up wherever you are around the world on the Civic Media app. Stay with us. Right, so baby, I ain't scared to fall in love. Take my heart, I'm not afraid to give it up to you. Ain't no fear, I can't fight. I'm okay, girl, when I look in your eyes, I like what I see in there, and I ain't scared.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The fall agriculture tourism season is underway. And from apple orchards to pumpkin patches, it's a great time to travel across the state. But have you ever thought about camping on a farm? There is a push to make a new law allowing farmers to host up to 3 paying campers without a license. Supporters say it's needed to help diversify their incomes.
To allow people to put a tent up in a pasture and experience stargazing, stay overnight in the pasture, and have rustic camping when they're overnight for farm stays. Pick up the eggs in the morning, have a farm breakfast.
That's Sheila Everhart with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. You can learn more, including where to go this fall, at the website WIAGtourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, 2 indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay.
The WLAK Go for the Green and Gold text win contest is powered by Amory Chevrolet. Lifetime warranty, trusted service, hometown values. Amory Chevrolet, where people matter most.
Oh, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning, welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Calzone on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show tomorrow, it is Thursday, 2nd of October.
It's the 2nd of October. You don't know this song. I just made it. It's the 2nd of October.
It is October today.
Oh, my gosh.
Friend, colleague, host of Amicus, the Law Review, Jim Santel, is going to be joining us. Yes. There's a lot to cover with Jim Santel.
He might just stick around for 5 to 7 hours.
Yeah, could be. Hour number two, we'll lighten it up. J.R. Radcliffe will be here, the Acme Packing Company's J.R. Radcliffe, to talk all things sports. And then we'll wrap it up where we are right now.
Yeah.
With This Shouldn't Be a Thing. And don't forget, coming up after 11 o'clock, Tom Hartman is going to have another keyword for you for our multi-state text to win Go for the Green and Gold contest. Be listening to Tom 11 to 1 or 11 to 12 and then 1 to 2. Mm-hmm. He'll have a new word for you in both those hours. You have to use the Civic Media app. Todd Alba has another word for you in the 3 o'clock hour. Maggie Dawn, 5 p.m. Pete Schwabba at 7 o'clock. Even before that exciting thing on Pete Schwabba's show,
yeah,
there's something happening on his show tonight at 6:30.
Oh, there's something big happening. Can it, Cal, can I get the... I didn't ask you for this. Can I get the drum roll again?
What's happening tonight on Pete Schwabba's show, Nightlife, at 6:30?
I will be on the show. What a downer. Seriously, what a waste of a hot...
That's great.
Yeah, I'll be on the show at 6:35 with Pete to talk about the Milwaukee Comedy Festival starting next, unofficially Monday, with the Roast of Milwaukee. But then on Tuesday, we kick it off officially, the 20th anniversary, the 20th festival. Aparna Nancherla, who has been on TV, been in movies, wrote a wonderful book, kicks it off at Lakefront Brewery. But we'll be talking more about that in the coming days. But on Pete's show tonight, 6:35, I'll be there talking with him about that, the festival, as well as comedy, because we always talk about comedy, because he and I are both stand-ups, have a lot in common on that level. But I'm very much looking forward to Seeing him and talking to him. And also just a really quick thing, too, depending on how the game goes today, we may know who the Brewers play this Saturday. If the Cubs win game two, I will be very not
You
happy.
Won't be the only one.
So, yeah.
Join Pete Schwabe tonight, Nightlight, at 6:30. Learn all about the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. Mm-hmm. Let's go support our comics.
Yeah.
It is late, Calvin. 10:55. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
Should you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me, Jane says, at civicmedia.us. This is from HuckMagazine.com.
Calvin, watch your mouth.
Calvin found this one. Headline reads, Vibrations and Victories at the World Worm Charming Championships.
Yes. Maybe we don't need legal marijuana.
On the flat green expanse of a school playing field in Cheshire, England, a crowd armed with French horns, recorders, pogo sticks, and pitchforks are preparing for the 46th annual World Worm Charming Championships. For the next 30 minutes, every square meter can make the difference between glory and going home wormless.
Wait, what? Wait a minute.
Teams have 30 minutes to coax as many worms as possible from a designated 3x3 meter plot. No digging, no use of water. Instead, worms have to be charmed by vibrations, which the organizer says works because the worms think it's raining. So then they come out.
This seems mean.
There's the traditional twanging, driving a garden fork into the ground and then rhythmically vibrating it so the soil shivers like rain. Some prefer music, from harmonicas to heavy metal blasted through speakers. Others prefer stamping on it with a variety of footwear. The 75-year-old organizer, Mr. Forster.
That's his full name.
Co-founded the event in the early 80s.
When asked why he did it, he's like, man, cocaine is amazing.
Amazingly, it's quite awe-inspiring to watch the worms come out. Everything you see is true. We just enhance it a little bit and make it a little bit more magical. He has seen the championships grow from a small village oddity to now a Guinness World Record-holding spectacle.
That doesn't mean anything. Guinness, whatever.
Don't be dissing the worm championships.
This should not be a thing, is it not?
3,000 people turned out last year. The worms are carried to the counting tent after the event, where volunteers sift through them looking for the winner. Last year, the winning plot produced 71 worms that were brought to the surface by tapping garden forks with rubber mallets. We'll include the link in the show notes.
Oh, yeah, so absolutely, because you need this in your life. When asked for comment, the worms were like, can you just leave us alone?
That wraps up today's episode of...
This shouldn't be a thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and watching on the stream. It really means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just the littlest of little bits, and you have the chance to share it. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman. Be listening for that keyword for our multi-state text to win. Go for the green and gold contest. Have a wonderful day. We will be back tomorrow.
Listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey,
ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. The Supreme Court is allowing Lisa Cook to remain as a Federal Reserve governor for now, declining to act on the Trump administration's efforts to remove her from the central bank. The Supreme Court says it will hear arguments on her removal in January. President Trump continuing to threaten to fire workers furloughed during the government shutdown.
The question is this just a threat at this point to try to put pressure on Democrats, or will they actually follow through on this? And we have seen this administration, of course, cut agencies, cut departments, and cut federal workers by significant numbers as part of that DOGE effort. President Trump said yesterday that during a shutdown, he would lay off federal workers, he would cut programs, and he would also potentially cut benefits. But they haven't given details of what that would look like, who they would be targeting, and what programs would be targeted.
ABC's Karen Travers at the White House. Vice President Vance says Republicans want to resolve the health care issues Democrats are demanding, but not until the government reopens. This is ABC News.